Let's just pray. You know, God, when things like what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School happen, Lord, they just remind us what's always here. This world is broken, and there is evil in it, and that evil is real. It's not a philosophical concept. It's an entity. It's a thing. And God, sometimes that evil just hurts us. And Lord, we just pray. We all know that there are no words. Words are great, but at a certain point, they just fail. So there are no words. So Lord, what we do is we just ask you to do the thing that you've been doing. And that's be with them and somehow let them feel your grace and your peace and somehow remind them that you are with them. Words fail. Be with them. Amen. You know, last week we talked about Mary, if you recall, and this young woman that kind of had this, well, I'm sure she would have had this idea for the way that life was going to go for her, right? And she would be married, I'm sure she figured, and have kids. And just, it would be normal for us to expect that she would expect normal things for herself. I mean, that's just kind of how this stuff goes. And then she has this strange interaction with Gabriel, and everything just gets changed. You know, she says, she hears that the Messiah is going to be born and you're going to have him. And I mean, that's big news. And then she hears that she's going to have him before she's ever had sex. And that's strange news. And then she, you know, the trajectory of her life gets shifted. And this amazing line at the end of Luke 1, where she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." I mean, and you think it's crazy that she would be able to say something like that. I would, you know, I'd probably be surprised if I was going to carry anything. But, you know, I mean, if it was, you know, you have this kind of moment where it is so clear that what God is going to do very unexpectedly, you know, I don't think there was a countdown clock in her room that was like 10, 9, 8, 7. She's like, what's going to happen? You know, there wasn't anything like that. She didn't get a note. Hey, just be on the lookout. Gabriel's going to be talking to you. Try to, you know, smile. You know, it wasn't anything like that. She was just normal life, normal day, and then boom, God does something totally unexpected. And at the end of this interaction, she's able to say, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." In Hebrew, you know. And the challenge we had last week was just, could we just do that? Could we just not try to be like that? And just put the things that we have planned, you know, in front of God and say, "God, if this is how it goes, great. If this is how it's not, fine. But whatever you want to do." And then this morning, you know, Mary wasn't the only one that was affected by this announcement. There was also this guy, Joseph. She was quite fond of him. He was fond of her. They had become engaged. They were pledged. And, you know, and in the scripture, it kind of blends husband, wife, and pledged, you know, the whole thing. And it's because the ideas were blended for them. You know, when you were engaged, it was like you were married. You didn't have any, you know, physical contact until the end of the engagement period where everything was officially kind of, boom, consummated. But this was, it wasn't just a, "Well, if this works out, great. If it doesn't." No, you were married, just not fully. And so he had found this younger woman, and he had, you know, everything had gone according to plan, and we talked about it all last week, and so we don't have to go through it again, but a lot had gone into getting Joseph and Mary to this point, and then we don't know what day of the week it was, and we don't know how, and we don't know where he was standing when it happened, but we know one thing. At some point, he found out that she was pregnant. And he knew something else. He didn't do it. Now, what'll that do to your day? Look at what it says here in Matthew 1. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. She was found to be pregnant. And we don't know if she came out and said it. Can you imagine, like, pre-birth of Jesus, someone saying, the Immaculate Conception, you know? Can you just, you know, picture somebody saying, no, I'm pregnant, but nothing's happened. We're all good. You know, everybody's like, of course, Mary. You know, I mean, how would you even describe it? I mean, God was doing something that was so different than anything that had happened before. Anything that had happened before. And we talked about last week why it had to be that way. This wasn't just some sort of random God thing going, I don't know, Gabriel, let's do it differently. What do we want to do? You know, and it wasn't like that. There was a reason that it had to be this way. But what we know is that he found out. Maybe it was because she was showing. We don't know. But he found out. Now just picture for a moment what it would be like to hear that or to see that, to discover that. This woman that you're going to marry, that in some ways you already have, pregnant and it's not yours. What do you do? I mean, we see a great kind of picture, a snapshot into the way Joseph was, because he didn't do what he could have done. It wasn't fair, but it's the way that it was. That if this situation had occurred, that he would have been able to drag Mary out into, you know, the center. Sometimes you would go to where the well was. Other times you would go by the gate of the city, wherever the leaders kind of stayed. And you could just say, this is what's happened. I didn't do it. I'm done with her. He could have humiliated her. He could have cast her out. He could have done all kinds of things. He had to do something. It wasn't up to him just to say, oh, I'm not going to. We'll just pretend it didn't happen. He couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. He wasn't allowed to do that. But he was trying to do the most gentle thing that he could. I mean, you get the picture of Joseph, and this is a little bit of conjecture, but as you look at the way that the scripture seems to line up, this was a man that loved her, and he was trying to be as gentle with her as he could. And then he has this dream, right? But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, when I read this story, and I read it in conjunction with the way Luke talks about it in particular, you get two different sides of it. You know, in Matthew, you kind of get Joseph's angle on it. In Luke, you get Mary's angle on it. And they both help. But something strikes me. I feel like if I was God, I would have done it differently than God did. You know, if I was God and I was going to do this thing, then I would make sure it all lined up. You know, I would probably start with, you know, I might tell Mary first, or I might just kind of, you know, boom, just light up the sky, this big fireworks display, and it says, hey, Messiah's coming, virgin's going to be pregnant, no, you know, no problem, you know, or something like that. I would say something, and then you know, the person that is going to give birth and who they're betrothed to, all that, they kind of find out and everything is good. You kind of smooth it over. Because Mary had to face a community that would not have believed that nothing had happened. And Joseph would have had to have faced a community that would not have believed that nothing had happened. And all they had was a visit from an angel and a dream. That was it. There's no other indication that there was any other confirmation that this was the way that it was. And what they had to do is walk through and live out their life and live out these next several months and even, you know, the next couple of years with this over them, with the only thing to honor the fact that they were doing it right was just that God had said it. Now, can you imagine being Joseph? Can you imagine being Joseph? I mean, what Mary had done, if she had done it, was not just offensive, it was belittling. It was offensive to your entire family. Generations of people would have been offended at this. This wasn't just we're sorry she hurt, you know, little Joey, you know, and that's a shame. You know, it's not that. Everyone in his family would have been wronged by this if that's what had happened. Everyone. And yet, what God told him to do is don't be afraid to take her as your wife because she's honored her commitment to you. I wonder sometimes if I would do that. You know, I wonder if I would be so willing to stand up to the cultural mores that we have now, if God said to do something really crazy. Now, I think in a lot of ways I do. I mean, I'm in ministry. We do, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. But do you ever wonder that? This young woman and this man were just living their normal life, and then God took things and changed it and made their life larger than it could have ever imagined, more important than it could ever have imagined, but more different than they probably ever would imagine. And they went with it. They just said, okay, I'm in. And whatever problems this causes, God, you're going to have to fix it because I'm in. I wonder how I would respond. The other thing that kind of comes with this story, this account, is unfortunately how well it symbolizes what we walked through over these last few days. And you know, we walked through it via screens, most of us. Most of us don't know people that were in that school on Friday. But what we have kind of all walked through with this. A couple people talk to me and they feel like this was kind of one of the tough parts about this is an intrusion on this very kind of happy pre-Christmas celebrative type of thing. And it certainly is. And these people weren't being cruel to the, you know, they weren't saying, oh, too bad for us, because it just was, they felt additional sadness because it was breaking in to this run-up to celebrating the birth of the Messiah. But one of the things that you see when you look at what happened just after the time that this is talking about, when Jesus was actually born, you see that unfortunately what happened this week describes it pretty well. You see, what we have is this moment of just beauty. God comes back You know, this was his plan the whole time. He knew how this was going to work out. And so he had this plan where he would link himself to us. He would fuse himself to us. He would bind himself to us. And he would show us how to live. And then he would die for us. And this whole thing, he understood how this was all going to work out. And he had the day on the calendar when it was going to happen. And it finally did. And you just cannot imagine. We can't feel how great it was that this happened for us. And yet in the very same time, while that was happening, while there was a star that was directing people, and there were angels that were singing out that Jesus had been born, the Messiah had come. All this happened under the shadow of the power of Herod. Herod was the ruler, and he was so paranoid, and it turns out rightly so, that the Jewish Messiah would come, that when he heard that he might have, he instituted a regional infanticide. He just killed the male children just to try to make sure that he could get the one that was. And right after Jesus was born, you know, they had to whisk him away to get him out of the way of this. And you have Jesus, you know, you see in his early life and in his ministry, you see him constantly colliding with the evil that's in this world. You see, whether it's the birth of Jesus or the life of Jesus or the death of Jesus or our life and our death, what God said is this: this world is beautiful, but this world is broken. And as long as it's broken, things like the horror in Sandy Hook Elementary are going to happen. And what he says to do is be close to me and let me be close to you so that we can walk through it. Because while we wish that God would just say, hey, I'm going to neutralize all this, we're not going to let anything like this happen, that's not the way he's working right now. He's got a plan that's better than the way that we would imagine the plan being. But what he does say is this: because I am bound to you, because I am linked with you, when you go through it, I go through it. He plays by his own rules. He hasn't protected himself, and he won't. But what he says is, for now, we're going to have to bounce through this difficult life, enjoy the beauty, and mourn the ugly together. That's why when Jesus in John 16 said, don't worry, I've overcome the world, it means so much. That's why when we are told in Revelation that there's going to come a point where there won't be any more separation between anyone and God, and there won't be any more crying, there'll be no more tears. When this time happens, then all of this will go away. God knows when that is, and we don't. But until then, we just keep going. And we celebrate the births, and we mourn the deaths, and we live in the tension of those two things. There's a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It's called Christmas Bells. It became, about 20 years after he wrote it, it was put to music and became I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And it was written in a time of really pretty significant sadness for him. This was during the Civil War, so it was just a horrific time for so many people. But his son had enlisted in the Union Army and was really badly wounded, very, very badly wounded. I can't remember exactly, but it was bad. And then his wife had died. There was a freak fire, and her dress had caught on fire. And she died with her dress on fire. And he was actually terribly burned, laying on her trying to get the flames out. In fact, a lot of people say that really thick, bushy beard that he had later in life was because he had some pretty significant scarring from the burns. So things had been pretty tough for him. And he wrote this poem about these opposing sounds, the bells that would ring on Christmas Day and the blast of the cannon. And it kind of goes back and forth between them. And I just think it's one of the best ways of blending the beauty and the ugly that we see. I want to read it for you. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And though how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black, accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. This is my favorite stanza. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let's pray. God, I feel like sometimes you feel like you're at a loss. You feels like words are, they don't work. And God, sometimes the ugliness of this world that we created, Lord, we made the ugliness in this. Our rebellion from you is what caused it. Ugliness in this world is so bad. We almost can't stand it. But God, it's in these times that I pray you would help us all to remember that just like on that dark night, there was this star and it just broke through the darkness. And it pointed to you. God, that's still happening. And you're calling on us to share the truth of you so that other people can see where the light is pointing. God, I thank you that you came. Even if there are parts of it that I don't understand why you did them, I thank you that you came. You came back. We didn't deserve it. We barely asked for it. But you did it. And God, I pray that you will just help us to walk through both of these events, the birth of the Messiah and the horror at the elementary school, honestly. I pray you would guide us in both because we can see you in both. Please be with us. And dear Lord, please be with them. Amen.